Hello. Welcome to the Delaware Bible Church podcast. My name is Pastor Scott Teedy, and I have a very special guest today, which I will tell you about in just a minute. Now, I want to say some things right out of the gate because this podcast could get me into some hot water if I don't. First of all, I want to say that today's podcast is not an endorsement of any candidate by Delaware Bible Church. That's not what we're here to do. The person that we're going to talk to today, I've known this person as a Christian since before this person entered the race for, or entered to be a candidate for the position that they're going to try to hold. The point of this podcast really is to inform the Christian community about how and why to consider entering public service in elected office. That's what we're going to talk about today. And of course, as Christians, we are free to talk about issues whenever we want. But again, this is not an official endorsement by Delaware Bible Church of the person we're going to talk to. It's more of a, you know, picking this person's brain to see how they, you know, why they decided to do what they're doing, which is to enter a race for public office. We're going to discuss the issues today facing, and it's very popular right now, there's a lot of stuff in the news, facing public school boards. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're also going to be discuss why a Christian might enter the race to hold public office. My guest today is none other than Janine Baker, who is running for a seat on the Delaware City School District School Board. Janine, why don't you take a few minutes to, or a few seconds to introduce yourself?
Well, thank you, Pastor Scott, for having me here today. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm Janine Baker. I have a niece and nephews that go to here to Delaware Christian School, and I became a Christian at a young age, and I grew up going to church, and I was taught the Bible my whole life. When I was about 16, I got interested in politics, and I wanted to get involved in some way, shape, or form, so I started volunteering on various races and campaigns, and I figured out eventually that I wanted to run for some kind of office. I just wasn't sure what yet, and I didn't think it was going to be so soon, but a few months ago, I had a friend of mine reach out to me and ask me if I would consider running for Delaware City School Board, and she said, I think you would be the perfect candidate for the school board. We need somebody like you in there to help stop some of the stuff that's going on right now. And so I thought about it, and it's like, you know what? Why not? I am a former teacher. I taught out of state for a couple of years. And then when I came back to Ohio, I substitute taught in the school district and in various school districts around. And even though I didn't want to teach anymore, I knew I wanted to be involved somehow in education. So when she brought this up about the school board, I was like, you know what? Why not? And so here I am.
Oh, great. I appreciate that. Well, I've got some questions here I'd like to just run through and ask you. First of all, what is the function of a public school board?
Well, according to the Ohio Association of School Boards, in their position, they hire and evaluate the superintendent and treasurer. And they also set district policy and adopt curriculum. They establish budget. They engage with parents. And they also are fiscal stewards for the school district. And then they also bridge the community between the community and the school.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds like a very typical board position. The boards that I've served on, you oversee the executives. You oversee the financials and you set policy. And that sounds about like what you're doing. And it makes sense that citizens that are a part of that school district would sit on that board so that there's accountability, right? Between the public who pays the taxes that supplies the schools and the folks that are actually administering or running the schools, right? That makes perfect sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, this is kind of a big philosophical question, but in your opinion, or under your way of thinking, what is the role of a public school?
I believe it's to provide students in the community with an excellent and accurate education.
Okay. That's good. I agree with that 100%. That's good. obviously there's some things that we just need to know to move about in the world, you know, math and reading and different things like that. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And young people should be equipped with that stuff. Now, what is motivating you, you personally, to pursue a school board position at Delaware City Schools?
Well, there's actually a lot of motivations. one of them is, as a former teacher, I am, especially in recent years, I'm becoming more increasingly aware of how this next generation coming up is going to be our future leaders. And they're going to be leading this country someday, and they need to be well-equipped with critical thinking skills. And one of my biggest concerns right now is that I feel like in the public school system that students are taught what to think instead of how to think. Mm-hmm. And critical thinking is like core to all those issues. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to help the school district go back to the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, mm-hmm. and history, accurate history.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say accurate history, I assume you're talking about history as it happened and not through the any kind of political lens, whether right or left, right?
Correct. Yeah, yes, history accurate. How it happened, like in 1776.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, if I could tell you a funny story, just take a second. I remember when I graduated from college and I got my first job, my boss, whose name was Norm, shout out to Norm. Norm told me, he said, Scott, he said, you are a graduate of Purdue University. You got an engineering degree, but Purdue did not teach you how to be a good engineer. Purdue only taught you how to think. I'll teach you how to be a good engineer. And that always stuck with me, is we need to teach our young people how to think. Not what to think, but how to think. And that's really good. I appreciate that. Well, let's see. You're running for office here. So what do you think qualifies you to be on the school board? What unique talents or perspectives do you bring? You've already mentioned that you're a former teacher, but tell me a little bit about that.
So I taught first grade. Back in Illinois when I lived there for a couple of years. And I taught right out of college. And I enjoyed it, but it was something that teaching is something that you have to be passionate about, and that just was not something that I was really that passionate about. I'm a realtor right now, and that's my passion. That's what I love to do, and that's what I want to do. But even though I don't want to teach particularly, I still want to be involved in education in some way, just because I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, that leads right into our next question, which is what directions or policies do you think that you see at Delaware City Schools that you find problematic?
So there's in the community, we have parents who are happy with the school district and with the school board. And then we have parents who are not happy with the school district and the school board. And my goal is to be able to bring the whole community together so that we can all love the school district and love the school board. Some of the things that I'm seeing personally are concerning to me. Sometimes I feel like based off of what I have seen from the school board right now, I feel like they don't really care about what the parents have to say. Mm. In fact, some parents have told me as I've been knocking on doors that they felt like the school district did what was easy last year instead of what was best for the kids when they decided not to open school at all. And I've heard a lot of heartbreaking stories from parents who had students that suffered because school was not open. Either they had an IEP or some kind of special need, or even just a social child that thrives on that social experience, and that's how they learn. Mm. And so I've heard a lot of heartbreaking stories about that. And my goal is to put the kids first and do what's best for them, regardless of what's easy or convenient. Mm. I think that's one of the key things. Okay. Also, another thing that's kind of a divisive issue in the school district, there's both sides. There's parents who are happy with a mask mandate, there's parents who are not happy with a mask mandate.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it's a very divisive issue, unfortunately. And I want to be able to unite the community, but at the same time, I feel like this is a choice that parents need to be able to make with their children. And it should not be forced on anyone, whether to wear a mask or take a vaccine. If that's what you want to do, if you feel like that's the best thing for you, then do it because you have that right. But at the same time, you shouldn't be forced to do something against your will that you don't want. Like I mentioned before, this is America.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and if I could just say a few things in follow-up to that, for those of you that aren't in the know, an IEP is an individual education plan, and that's really generally for students that struggle. Maybe they have a learning disability or they're behind a bit, and it's designed to help that individual student come up to speed. The other thing I would say is I agree with you totally about the whole social thing. I have personal experience with that. When I I entered the ministry, I was kind of a non-traditional person because I entered the ministry close to 30 years old. And so I wanted to go to seminary. And I tried to go to seminary online. What a miserable failure that was for me. It's just not my learning style. I need to be in a classroom with an instructor, asking questions, hearing other people ask questions. That's how I learn the best. So I, after taking two classes at an online seminary, I enrolled in a seminary that met in person and just took off. I flourished in that environment because that's how I learn. I'm sure that there are some students that did well in the online learning environment, but that's not everybody, right? And I really appreciate what you said, Janine, about parent choice. It seems to me, and this is my opinion, it seems to me that there is a debate going on that wasn't going on a few years ago. It was a settled deal that parents are the primary, are the people who are primarily responsible for the education of their children. Now, some parents decide to homeschool. We homeschooled our children until we moved here and we were able to get access to a Christian school. Some parents put their kids here at Delaware Christian School at a private, you know, we're a private Christian school. And some parents choose to put their children in public school. And all of those options are good options. As far as I'm concerned, we're blessed to have those options here in the United States. But there seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, a debate going on about who is primarily responsible for the education of the children. And I think there's some voices out there that are saying it's the state. Are you hearing that too?
Yes. In fact, somebody commented on my page. I have a lot of hate on my Facebook page.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
In fact, somebody said something about it takes a village. And I didn't say anything, obviously. But it's like, no, that's the parent's choice.
Right. And so your philosophy would be, because you believe it's a parent's choice, and I agree with you, by the way, but because you believe it's a parent's choice, then the individual parent should get to decide whether their student is vaccinated. The individual parent should get to decide, or parents should decide, whether their student wears a mask or not to school. That shouldn't be that's not under the authority of the school board. That's where you would land on that? Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. And, you know, we hear it, you know, just to be completely, full disclosure, you know, here at Delaware Christian School, we struggle with those decisions as well. And we've tended to err on the side of, you know, as long as the state wasn't making us do something, we tended to err on the side of parent choice. And so far it's working really well for us. And it seems to be, you know, and we really do have to, this sounds like what you're trying to do. We have to really help people fight for unity in the community by saying, if a parent comes along and says, I want my kid to wear a mask and I want everybody else in my kid's class to wear a mask, we have to remind them that's an individual choice. We will help, you know, remind your child to wear their mask throughout the day because that's your decision, but we can't make other parents make that same decision. We have to do the same on the other side of the coin. This is, I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want my kid to wear a mask and I don't want anybody in their class to wear a mask either. We have to say, look, we're not going to do that. We're not going to mandate masks or no masks. We're going to let individual parents make those decisions. Sounds like that's where you're at.
Yep.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, we're having a great year here at Delaware Christian School. Bumps in the road always, but as far as COVID is concerned, we're having a wonderful year this year.
Good.
Yeah, really good. Good. Let's see. My next question for you is this. How will your, obviously I've known you as a Christian. I knew you as a Christian, as a sister in Christ, before I knew you as a person running for school board. We kind of have folks that we know in common and folks that work here that are connected to you and all this kind of stuff. But how will your Christian faith inform your actions on the school board?
Well, the biblical values that I was raised on and that I believe strongly in, those guide everything that I do on a daily basis, and they're going to guide what I do on the school board. Gotcha. To make sure that my decisions are pleasing to God and what He would like to see.
I got you. And maybe I need to say it just as clearly as I can for everybody who's listening, whether they agree with you or not. Are you trying to turn Delaware City Schools into a Christian school?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, that'll come as a relief to many people, right? Right. I understand what you're saying because I myself as a Christian. You're going to let your commitment to, what God has told us in His Word about speaking the truth, speaking it in love, being edifying to other people. Mm-hmm. Those are the values that you're talking about, I assume,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You just said it better than I did.
Well, I do get paid to speak professionally, on a every Sunday basis. So, yeah. Oh, good. Let's see. Here's my next question. If you had a list of agenda items to get done in your term as school board member, what would be on that list?
Well, the top three things that I'm running on is, first and foremost, is transparency, not only between the district and the parents, which there does seem to be pretty good transparency between like the teachers and the parents from what I've heard and seen. So that's good. But I also want to advocate for transparency between the board and the parents. From what I've seen, that's kind of lacking right now. And I would like to bring that missing piece to the school board.
Can you flesh that out a little bit? Like transparency with what? With where the school is headed or?
Yeah, transparency with where the school is headed. Telling the parents what the plans are, listening to the parents, letting the parents have a say in their child's education. I've talked to a lot of parents who feel like they don't have a say in their child's education, and they're just really frustrated and they're really upset about that. And it comes down to parents' choice. Like, they ultimately are responsible for these children, and they need to have a say in what goes on in the school district, and they need to have their voices heard. And right now, there's some parents that feel like their voices are not being heard. And like I mentioned earlier, I want to make sure that we can unite the whole community and make sure that everyone's voice is being heard, not just one portion.
Well, I know we only got to the first of your three pillars of your campaign, but along the line of transparency, I'm an outsider looking in. I don't have any kids at Delaware City Schools, but it seemed like to me that all summer long, the idea was going to be there's no mask mandate going into this school year. And it was either right before school started. I'm recalling this. I'm not sure I got it right. But either right before school started or right after school started, the school board voted a all year long mandatory mask mandate. Is that what happened? Is that what you're talking about with transparency? It seemed like they were not telling the parents what they were really thinking. Or is that the way people felt?
That's one of the things that I'm referring to, especially, was all summer long, parents were told it's going to be an option. I saw a lot of emails assuring them, like, it's going to be an option. And then August 16th, which was the back to school night and also the same day as a school board meeting, that meeting, they voted to all of a sudden make the masks mandatory. And at first, they did it just according to the county scorecard. But then last meeting, they changed it. So it's just going to be mandatory completely all year round, regardless.
Okay.
And a lot of parents were upset about that. They felt like, not necessarily they were being lied to, but they just felt like they weren't being, there just wasn't enough transparency there.
I see. Maybe a more transparent or honest way to say it. I don't even know if honest is the right word, but it would have been to say we're evaluating constantly and
right.
And we may either do you get to choose, or we may do a mask mandate. We don't know yet, but it seemed like parents were being told there's going to be an option at the last minute. At the 11th hour, it was told, nope, you're going full mm-hmm. mask mandate. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's one thing. Does critical race theory play into any transparency? I know that when you look around the news and you see parents going to school board meetings, school board meetings tend to be that you see in the news around the country is parents are showing up at school board meetings because they're energized. They don't want critical race theory taught in their school. Is that something that you're concerned about here at Delaware City Schools? Or
I am concerned about it. People say that it's not in the school. The school itself says that it's not in the school, but they have a tricky way of saying it. They say it's not in the curriculum.
I see.
But from the stories I've heard from parents, like, it's gradually seeping into the school just in small ways that are, it's kind of hard to tell right now. But my goal is to stop it, because that's a very divisive theory. And we can't unite a community when we're divided by skin color. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr. said that we ought to be judged by our character and not the color of our skin. Mm-hmm. And he is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are, what have you, what gender. God made all of us, and we're supposed to love each other regardless of who they are. But we need to be judged off of who we are inside and how we act.
I got you. I got you. Yeah. I'm going to ask a couple of follow-up questions just to clarify your position and see if you're kind of, see what you're thinking here. So, if somebody wanted to have a discussion with students about how race historically has unfolded, how the racial discussions, you know, whether it be slavery or the Civil Rights Act or whatever, Jim Crow laws, if somebody wanted to have a discussion with students, especially high school students, about how race has influenced our country up to today, would you have a problem with that?
No, not at all.
Yeah, because that's history, right?
Right, exactly. But sometimes I'm all for teaching history, the good, bad, the ugly.
Absolutely. As truthfully as possible, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But history repeats itself. And we need to make sure that we know history so we know how to stop it from happening again, the bad and the ugly yeah. parts.
So what you would be against, I'm assuming, and I don't know this about you, I'm trying to read up on all these things and stay abreast of what's happening with critical race theory. What I'm guessing that you would be against is for someone to say, because you belong to any particular group, we can judge you based on the fact that you're a part of that group. That's problematic in my mind. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely.
Whether yes. you say, because you're a white person, you can't understand this, that, or the other, or you're automatically a racist or whatever, that's just, to me, that's crazy. Are you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So yes. I think we're on the same page as far as that goes. No problem talking about race and how it's shaped our country and the mistreatment, the gross, terrible mistreatment of black people, people mm-hmm. of color in early America, of different races, nationalities, sexes. We can talk about that and how that has shaped our country and how lives have been shattered and things over that. But bringing to today, you, because you belong to a certain group, we can judge you based on your membership in that group, based on your skin color, whatever. That's problematic.
Right. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'd be on the same page. That's good. Okay, so so one thing was transparency. What are the other two pillars of your platform?
So fiscal responsibility is another one.
Yeah, I always love that. Stay within budget, right?
Yes, absolutely. I want to make sure that every cent of our tax dollars are going actually to help the children. And I know that there's certain portions of the budget that are for like the teachers' unions and the teacher salary and all that. But the portion that does go to the children, I want to make sure that it actually goes to the betterment of the children. Hmm. Our taxpayers work hard for every dollar that they make. And I've talked to several who are overwhelmed with the way that prices, the taxes are going up and how the school tax is part of that. And they're just really overwhelmed and it's hard to be a homeowner now. And it's just not fair to the community. And we need to, so I just want to go in there and shed a light on the budget and see what we can cut down on and what we can do better and see if we can stretch our tax dollars farther so we don't have to raise taxes all the time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would love that as a taxpayer. I would love that. I mean, I moved over here from rural Indiana and my tax bill went bananas when I moved here. And I've gotten used to it, but it was a tough pill to swallow that first year I was here. All right, and the third pillar of your platform?
The third pillar is safe schools. I want to ensure that our kids can go to school and feel safe, whereas as in there's no bullying. If there is a bullying, if somebody does bully, that it is dealt with effectively and immediately, that there's zero tolerance for it, and that any student, regardless of race, gender, or opinion, is not demonized because of who they are. Mm-hmm. Because all students are equal and they need to be treated equally.
Mm-hmm. This is just something I'm kind of passionate about. And since you brought up safe schools, and part of that includes the ability to have discussions about things that we may disagree about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the things I find fascinating, and I think this is, again, it's a feature of Christianity. It's not a flaw. It's a feature of Christianity. I don't think a lot of people realize that the Bible, God's word, actually commands us the things that God says are bad, we should eliminate those things from our life. The things that God's word clearly says are good, we should begin to practice those things in our life. But then there's this whole other realm of things that fall into the category of what I would call Christian freedom. You know, Paul addressed it in his famous speech about meat offered to idols. And, you know, one person may say, I can't eat that meat. It's been offered to a false god. And another person might say, well, those false gods aren't real anyway. I feel fine eating that meat. You know, it's cheap and I can get it on the market. And so there's this whole area of Christian liberty where two people who are followers of Jesus Christ can have a difference of opinion, and that's okay. And in fact, it's not just okay. God commands us in his word to not let such things divide us. I think that our whole culture could use a hearty dose of the understanding of the things that are clearly wrong. We eliminate those from our lives. The things that are clearly right, we begin to practice those things in our life. And the things that are areas of differences of opinion, we should not divide over those things.
Absolutely.
We should have mutual respect that somebody else holds a different opinion than I do and be okay with it. And I think that if we apply that across the board, a lot of the fighting and the bad sentiments and things that we see on social media, I think a lot of that stuff may disappear.
Mm-hmm.
This starts with me, right? I have to realize this is my opinion, but this might not be their opinion, and they have a different opinion, and it's within the bounds of, for example, the law or school policy, whatever. But when I let that difference of opinion work its way out of my life in intimidation or bullying, as you brought up, that's wrong. That mm-hmm. is just wrong. And yeah. I think that one of the things that any school system, ours, Delaware City, any school system could equip the next generation for is learning how to agree to disagree amicably,
mm-hmm.
right? And still understand they're a U.S. citizen, I'm a U.S. citizen, we're all part of this thing called America, you know, the United States, and we need to learn to agree to disagree without, you know, getting unduly upset, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I think this is the last question. So the three pillars again are transparency, fiscal responsibility, and safe schools. I like all three of those. Last question: how would you relate to others on the board? Speaking of agreeing to disagree, how would you relate to others on the board who think differently or even oppositely to how you think? I don't even know if oppositely is a word. But I've got too much education to take it back. So how would you relate to others that think differently than you do?
I think I have pretty good interpersonal skills. In fact, some of my dearest friends hold the complete opposite views as I, politically. Mm-hmm. And while it can be challenging sometimes we just have to agree to disagree because our friendship ultimately is most important. But with that being said, I'm going to try to befriend the board and respect them because regardless of what they believe and regardless of where we might not agree, they are fellow human beings and they deserve, we all deserve equal respect. And so I'm just going to respect the other board members and respect them for who they are, try to befriend them the best that I can. But also I want to make sure that I have accurate facts and that I can find common ground to work with them on.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. And I really do appreciate your time today. You know, you and I had to work very, very hard to set up this date because we've been trying for months. Has it been months?
Yes.
We've been trying to get this little conversation done. Before I wrap it up, do you have anything else you'd like to add or maybe, I don't know, if a website or something you want to point people to if they want to learn more about you or something like that?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook page. It's jbaker4dcs, 4 as in the number 4. Or you can just look up Janine Baker for Delaware City School Board. You can see my page on there. But yeah, please look me up. And also, I just want to encourage the audience to get out and vote this year. The off-year elections are very important elections, and they are nonpartisan races. So it's a matter of name recognition. So you really have to do your research. It's more challenging because you can't go through and look up, okay, R, D, whatever. But please get out and vote, even if you don't normally, because local is where it starts. And that's how we can start saving our country and taking our country back is by taking back the local places.
I got you.
If you have not run for office before, but you're interested in politics, please consider at least think about running because we need good people. And it's not easy. I have been attacked right and left. I have been not literally like no, not threat,
<That's good.
laughs> no threats yet. but I've had some very hateful things being said toward me. They've lied about me and I'm starting to see like it's now I see why a lot of good people don't run for office because they just don't want to put up with it. And it's hard. It really taxes you emotionally. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that it's easy peasy and great and wonderful, but we need good people to run. So please consider running because taking back our country starts with you and it starts with me. And if we can do something small in our local district, it's going to make a huge impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, I agree with everything that you've said. And there's a lot of talk out there about the separation of church and state. And I don't know any Christian that wants to turn the state into a church or to make our government a theocracy. That's often the charge that's leveled. But the reality of the situation is that just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we don't have a voice in the community, a voice in elected office. And just because we bring with us these values of trying to treat each other with respect, trying to speak the truth, trying to do so in an edifying way, trying to do what we think is best to help students get a good education, accurate historical education, to try to weed out things that might be harmful to their development. Just because we bring those things to the equation, and just because we bear the name of Christ, doesn't eliminate us, doesn't disqualify us from office, right?
Right, exactly.
So I think Christians need to hear that once in a while, you know, that just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we shouldn't get out there and try to make this world a better place, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Well, hey, it's been a joy to have you, Janine, and You've already mentioned your Facebook page, so I think I'm going to wrap it up. I just want to say a big thank you to Janine Baker for joining me today on the Delaware Bible Podcast. It's been a very interesting conversation, and I hope that things go well with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.